Good morning and welcome to this audio service from the Swiss Church on Sunday the 3rd of May. I am delighted to welcome a new person to our audio team today, and that is Jeff Fisher, whose voice you will hear in one of the readings. Peter Yardley Jones plays the organ, Marianne Fischer-Hertig, Niccolò Aliano, Colin McIntyre and myself, Reverend Carla Mauro, are contributing prayers, thoughts and readings. Wherever you are right now, whether you feel joyful or sad, lonely or connected, fearful or confident, we are branches attached to one vine, rooted in God through Jesus Christ and connected through the Holy Spirit that transcends all. In Psalm 108, verse 6, it says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Élève-toi au-dessus du ciel, ô Dieu, et que ta gloire soit sur toute la terre. Erhebe dich über die Himmel, o Gott, und über der ganzen Erde sei deine Herrlichkeit." Let us pray. Living God, source of forgiveness and self-acceptance, we praise you for the way you have worked in us. You have worked through countless generations of believers, and you are working still through us, stirring hearts, transforming lives, offering hope. Amidst the never-ending stream of news, the talking heads, the glowing screens, the fear-mongering headlines, our hearts grow weary, threatening to overwhelm. Liberate us, O God, as we are listening to this service in our homes. Liberate us from our tendency to hoard knowledge and feast upon information as if it is our daily bread. Extend us grace to grieve for the broken walls you adore. Turn our attention to what we can see outside the window, the trees still clapping, the birds still flying. Turn our hearts to think of our friends, distant and yet united in this very moment. Grant us wisdom to listen to your word and to discern what you deem true and right and noble. Amen. I invite you now to join in with the first hymn, The Day of Resurrection, and you will find the hymn sheet on the Swiss Church webpage. The first reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 and 42 to 47.
Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot accept my word. You are from your father the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, but he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not from God." Amen.
Writing sermons at this time is especially difficult, and I think that's because I'm locked out of the church. Church means assembly, and at this time we're not allowed to have an assembly. So who am I preaching to? How should I even preach? But I don't think it's just that, because over the past few weeks, I've had so many conflicting emotions, some good and some bad, some old, some new, like sorrow and isolation, but also hope and new energy, fear and resignation, but also prayerfulness and mindfulness. But I think that the most unsettling emotion has been uncertainty, and that's probably another reason that I find it hard to preach. How will the pandemic end? When will a seemingly normal life return? Church has been such an important part of my life that I'm left wondering, where is the church now? From the beginning of isolation, I have returned to the passage from John's Gospel that we read before. If we continue in God's word, we are Christ's disciples, and the truth will make us free. What is freedom? There is a prayer in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer which also says, "O God, whose service is perfect freedom." Serving God is freedom. Freedom is realizing that we are not sovereign in this world. God is sovereign. We need to step up from our pedestal. We are not the conductors of the world. We live in the world, and we need to tell God's word in the world. We might be physically away from each other, but the church is there doing that. And how is the church doing that? In a multitude of ways, it tells the truth of God's word. For some, it might mean comforting the bereaved, the lonely, the sad. For others, it means encouraging the understanding of the current situation so that the dignity of everybody is defended. And yet for others, it means lamenting. Lamenting because what we can do is limited and uncertainty prevails. Lamenting because sorrow is part of life. But as Christians, we believe that this world, with its sorrows, its pains, and its uncertainties, is not the end of the story. We need to endure them, yes, but there is light, a light brighter than any light at the end of the lockdown tunnel. We just need to remember that though God might seem far away, He is there and still holds our hand if we keep on living His word. We might not be in our churches at the moment, but God's Spirit still lives in the church, and the church is alive. So, as we lament, I would like to repeat after me these words from Psalm 31. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. For thou hast redeemed thee, O Lord, thou God of truth. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Amen.
I now invite you to join in with the second hymn, Lobe den Herrn, den mächtigen Herrn. The second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 8 to 13.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles.
This reading is the beginning of Paul's letter to the early Christian community in Rome. Paul went on three expeditions in Asia Minor and around the Mediterranean Sea to convert people to become followers of Jesus. Regardless of the cultural or religious identity, this new faith was for everyone. Journeying from town to town, Paul grew fond of the people he met and worshipped with, and it must have been difficult to say goodbye and move on often. In his letter to the Romans, we sense that Paul misses the company of his brothers and sisters, although this particular community in Rome he was yet to meet. Paul needs the contact with other Christians for the strengthening of his faith. Everyone brings different spiritual gifts with them, he says, and these gifts are an encouragement for others. Each gift is like a brick, and together they build a house. Some have the gift of listening. Others have a sense for people in distress. Then some again have the gift of articulating themselves well or are blessed with a beautiful voice. Some are gifted with an eye for beauty, whilst others are making people feel welcome, regardless of who they are. Some are good at finding the right words to lift up our prayers to God. Others are good administrators or confident leaders. Paul speaks of the harvest of spiritual gifts among Christians. What is church if we cannot be together and harvest our gifts? How can we strengthen each other in our faith if we are forced to stay apart? What is good church ministry in times of social distancing? I have thought about these questions a lot in the past weeks, and I'm yet to find an answer. Certainly, technology enables us to carry on with certain aspects of church life almost as normal, and yet it's not quite the same. When will we meet again? And how will it be? Will we be able to hug each other? To have lunch together? To laugh without worrying about the distance between us? Time will show the answer. I feel a bit like Paul on his travels. Without my church family, something is missing and cannot be replaced. I'm lost for answers how church is supposed to work under these circumstances. I also find it hard to imagine how church will be after the lockdown, because we simply don't know how the experience of social distancing and the increased awareness of our vulnerability will change people's behavior and our lifestyle in the long run. In his letters, Paul calls the disciples of Christ holy people or saints. And in another letter, the first letter of Peter, God's people are even titled the royal priesthood, called out of darkness into the wonderful light. The title of saints or royal priests for all believers became particularly important during the Reformation. One of the defining principles of Reformed churches is the priesthood of all saints. That means that all members of a church congregation are priests, spiritual leaders, not just the officially appointed, ordained vicar or minister. We all have a responsibility to lead and spiritually develop our church. And I believe that the importance of this has never been more evident than now. We are God's saints, and we are God's priests. And with this awareness, we are now called to live our lives in worship in our own four walls. This is a time to become aware of our sainthood and the sainthood of our sisters and brothers. This is a time to pay more attention to our spiritual gifts. This is a time to think about what we can contribute in church and society, our particular talents and abilities, and to even develop them further, to expand our skills. This is also a time to turning our focus inwards, to find peace and inner strength, and to be a source of strength and encouragement for our sisters and brothers. Let us become the saints that God has called us to be. Let us find the courage to put our light on a lampstand for all to shine. Whether together or apart, we are a community of radiant lights, and together we will find the right path for our church community during and after the crisis. I don't have the answer what church is if we cannot be together. But together, as a community of saints, we will eventually find the answers. The history of the Swiss Church goes back over 250 years and has seen many ups and downs. Together, we are writing another chapter of our history, so God will. Amen. I invite you to join in with the third hymn, O mon âme, magnifie le Seigneur.
Let us pray. Father, Lord, Daddy, Papa, in a way we are lost. We are so unsure of things at present, and yet, and precisely because of that, we do want to praise and worship you, our God. You are the everlasting, you are steadfast, you are never changing, you are the Alpha and Omega, you are omnipresent, you are unique. You are our hope, you are our peace, you are our comfort. Thank you. We praise you, our Lord. Kyrie eleison. Ever-present God, be with us in our isolation. Be close to us in our distancing. Be healing in our sickness. Be joy in our sadness. Be light in our darkness, be wisdom in our confusion, be all that is familiar when all is unfamiliar, so we are secure and can witness of your goodness to the world. Kyrie eleison. We pray for all who are affected by coronavirus through fear, illness or isolation or anxiety. May they find relief and recovery. In a moment of silence, I like to encourage you to lift up people to God, people who are suffering in any way at all. Thank you, Lord. We pray for those who are guiding our nation at this time and making national policies. May they make wise decisions. We pray for doctors, nurses and medical researchers that through their skill and insights, many will be restored to health. Keep them safe, Lord. We pray for the gravely ill and the dying, that they may know your comfort and peace. We pray for the leadership of our Swiss Church. Keep them safe. Guide them during this unusual time. Fill them with your wisdom as well as your joy. We also pray for our congregation. Keep us safe. Help us to keep in touch in any way possible. Keep our minds active and let the time come quickly when we can meet again in church. We ask and pray, fill us with your peace and hope. We pray all these things in your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Together we pray as Jesus Christ has taught us. Unser Vater im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name. Dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel, so auf Erden. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. Und führe uns nicht in Versuchung, sondern erlöse uns von dem Bösen. Denn dein ist das Reich und die Kraft und die Herrlichkeit in Ewigkeit. Amen.
Gott segne und behüte dich. Gott lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Gott hebe sein Angesicht auf dich und gebe dir seinen Frieden. Que Dieu te bénisse et te protège. Que Dieu fasse briller sur toi son visage qui se penche vers toi. Que Dieu tourne vers toi son visage, qu'il t'apporte la paix. God bless you and keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I wish you all a wonderful Sunday. Go in peace and bring peace to the world. Gönnt in Friede und bringet de Friede in die Welt. Amen.